In Acts chapter 16, and we've been traveling through the book of Acts here in Cape North, Dingwall, since quite a while. Here we are. The journeys of the Apostle Paul, journeys as the gospel began to spread throughout the Roman Empire. But it didn't stop there, did it? It spread throughout the whole world, this gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the process of spreading that gospel, we had Paul moving forward, seeking to win as many people as he can to Jesus Christ. And he's praying and he's seeking God and he's looking for God's guidance and direction in his journeys. Now, sometimes the path is bang on clear. Sometimes we know exactly what to do. But listen, there's a lot of times where there's uncertainty. What's next in our lives? But here's the thing, friends. Whatever your path is in life, I want you to know it's very short. It doesn't take long to get through life. But what's most important is that you do walk in the will of God. Now, if that's the case, what should we pray about when it comes to our life? Like, how many things should we be lifting up to God?
Everything.
How much?
Everything.
Everything. Should we be lifting up to God where we work? Should we be lifting up to God every circumstance and situation in life?
Yes.
Absolutely, always. It's when we move away from seeking God that we can get ourselves in problems. Because we may have a plan. Now, if you stop and think about it, as a young person, some of us are a little, you know, getting up in years, a few years on us. And we look back and...
What are you talking about?
The only us I'm talking about are the ones up here. If you stop and think, okay, what were my plans when I was 15 years old? You probably can't even remember what they were.
To reach 20.
To reach 20, okay. Well, you made that goal, Joe. Sure. You weren't thinking too far ahead then, were you, Stan? No. Right. But the thing is we make plans, but those plans often never come to fruition, do they? And you know what? It's a good thing some of them never did, right? We sometimes, some of you older ladies here had a plan about who you were going to marry. Maybe now you're saying, thank God that never happened, that I married the right one. Or maybe you're saying, I wish I had. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that one. But we make plans. But I'll tell you what, if we are surrendering our plans to God, then we will find God has a plan. He knows the day of your birth, and I'll let you in on a little secret. He also knows the day of your death. He knows exactly when it's going to happen. For some people, it's going to happen at 80 or 90. Some people, it's going to happen at 50 or 60. For some people, it's going to happen at 15. Some people, it's going to be at 20. He knows the day of our death. And if he knows that much about us, if he understands that much about our lives and about everything about our lives, I think it's very smart. Like, it's not a, you know, like, oh, well, that's kind of a stupid thing to follow God or to trust in the Lord or, you know, when I can do my own thing, I can do all this. I think it would be extremely a smart move to say, I'm going to surrender the keeping of my life and the plans of my life into the hands of Almighty God, because he knows exactly what's coming and knows exactly what to do about it. And if I don't do that, I'm shooting out in the dark. And lots of times I'll miss. And I can tell you, there are many a young person who, you know, thought they had the arrogance to live their own life and do their own thing. And then after, you know, 15, 20 years, and I'm old enough to see it happen, to see absolutely wrecked lives. Young, bright people who are ready to go forward in life and find their lives are totally screwed up because God wasn't a part of it. Now, God is so full of grace and mercy that he rescues them even then, and I've seen that happen too. He rescues. But it's better to let him have his way now than to have him have to fix the messes that we make later. So trust the Lord. As we watch the Apostle Paul serving God, we see some things that he's doing, and we're going to come to that here in this chapter. But let's say in Acts 16:1, one of the first things that happened might seem a little odd, but we'll get through it. He came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. This is the Timothy that we find in the Bible, 1 and 2 Timothy, that Paul writes to. So this is his first encounter with the young man Timothy, who he came to tutor and to watch over and to encourage and to grow in the Lord. He was the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers who were at Lystra and Iconium. And if you read about Timothy, you find that his grandmother Lois was a very faithful woman who brought him up in the things of God. That this was a young man who believed in the God of the Bible. A young man who followed the God of the Bible, even though his father was a Greek, and it may very well be that his father was not a believer. It almost seems like that here. It didn't stop him from moving forward. And I praise God, you can move forward, even if things are difficult, even if maybe one believes and one doesn't believe. And often I've found, you know, situations where young people who come from homes where neither are believers, but they go on. They go on walking with God in spite of that. Thank you, Francis. They pursue the Lord. But Timothy had the privilege of a grandmother who loved God. I'll tell you what, a grandma who loves God is such a blessing to those grandchildren. Don't underestimate grandmas, what you can do for your children. And grandchildren, I meant, yeah. And grandchildren, don't underestimate what your grandma's doing for you. The prayers that follow you because of a grandmother that walks with God, boy, that's a rich inheritance to have in your life. A very rich one indeed. And here's Timothy. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew his father was a Greek. Now you might say, ooh, that sounds a little... But it was again because Paul was ministering, and he was ministering with Jewish people. Since Timothy was of Jewish stock, he was circumcised. Not because of the law, but because of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Timothy was a Jew himself, even though his father was a Greek, his mother was Jewish. So then, from there they went through the cities, and they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem, what we spoke about last time. So the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So here, God, the Spirit, forbids them to go and preach in a certain place. That sounds kind of strange. But you see, God had a plan. Now, Paul didn't know what the plan was, so he was trying to move forward. Now, here's the thing. Move forward. I'm not sure what the plan is, Lord, but I'm not going to sit here and wait till I die before I move forward with serving you and walking with you. If you do that, you'll do nothing. God calls you to move forward. They moved forward, but God gave them direction. Somehow the Spirit of God made it clear, I don't want you to go into Asia at this time. So then they came to Mysia. They tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So again, there was a closed door. So they tried a certain door. He says, well, let's go there. It doesn't seem to be working out. Okay, the Spirit of God gave them direction. So passing from Mysia, they came down to Troas. So I can imagine as Paul's going about seeking to serve God, a little bit, you know, hey, what's going on here? We seem to want to go this way, but the Spirit of God's not letting us. We're going to try to go this way, the Spirit of God's not letting us. God has a plan. God has a perfect plan. He knows what he's doing. He knows the direction that he wants to take us in. So what happens next? Well, the Lord was still on the throne. He still had a plan. And as they sought the will of God, what happens? A vision appeared to Paul in the night. And in that vision, a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So it was a dream. He had a vision in the middle of the night. God can speak through visions and dreams. He can. Now, sometimes you just have indigestion and you have a bad dream. But if it's a dream from God, it will be clear. It will be something that you'll be able to discern and know this is the Spirit of God speaking. And in this case, it's a pretty evident one, isn't it? A Macedonian man appears in a dream and says, come into Macedonia and help us. And it wasn't just out of the blue either. It was where they were seeking to serve God and wondering which direction should we go in. It was where the Spirit of God made it clear, don't go this way, don't go this way. And now the Spirit of God gives this vision, and so they know which way to go. So after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So God guides us. We are not left without the guidance of God in our lives. We see it here in them going forth with the gospel. But I want you to know that God can guide us over all the affairs of life. We should not leave him out of the picture of our lives. And as a matter of fact, let me recommend to you that don't start your day without seeking the guidance of God. You might say, well, I know what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You have no idea what today is going to bring. He does. You have no idea who God might bring into your sphere. Somebody that you might meet. That the Spirit of God, if you're waiting on him and seeking him, the Spirit of God might say to you, speak to that person about me. And who knows what the result of that will be if you obey God. If you're saying, Lord, I'm open to you. I'm sensitive to your leading. I'm ready to be guided by God in my life. Let me encourage you. Walk with the Lord. Be sensitive to his leading in these things. And God will reveal his way as we seek to serve him. And so they land there. Acts 16:11. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace. And the next day we came to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. So there they landed. They went to Macedonia. They said, okay, this is the direction we're going to take. God is giving me direction. Please, seek the Lord. Serve the Lord. Ask his guidance. You might feel like your life is stalled right now, and sometimes it does feel like that. But God knows what he's doing. Paul and his company were stalled. They didn't know what God was planning. But eventually he showed them what was next in their lives. Seek the Lord, and you will not be disappointed. And so they landed in Macedonia. They were in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. We sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Thank God for the women. They were the ones who were down by the riverside praying. They were the ones who were seeking God. And I'll tell you, seek and you shall find. This is what happened. A certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. And you might say, what's the big deal? Somebody who sells purple. Does anybody know why that would be a big deal? Why would somebody be selling purple? What's so important about purple? Lots of purple around here, isn't there?
It's rare over there.
Much more money. It was the robe of kings, the very, very rich. I mean, we are clothes all over the world now are every color you can imagine, aren't they? But in those days, you had to find the right plant with the right dye in order to be able to get the color purple. And it was a very rare plant. And so anybody who had purple had the clothing of kings. So this woman was a prominent businesswoman. You might say, people say, oh yeah, women have only just got liberated in the last number of years. No, there were women who were prominent businesswomen, especially the Jews. They knew how to do business, and they still do, right? And this woman, she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. But she was a worshiper of God. See what it says? She worshiped God. Now, she knew about the God of the Bible, the Old Testament, but she didn't know about Jesus Christ. She hadn't heard yet the great news about who Jesus was and all of that came with that. But she was down by the riverside worshiping God. She'd take time out from her business because she knew that serving God and knowing God was more important even than making money. And so there she was, worshiping God. And as she was there to pray and to worship God, Paul and the men that had gone down, Paul and Silas were there, and they began to preach about Jesus Christ. She heard the things, what was said, and it says this, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Now I want you to notice something here. It says the Lord opened her heart. Now why would the Lord open her heart and maybe not that heart over there? Pardon me?
She was a willing recipient.
Okay, that's a good reason there. She was a worshiper of God. She was one who was seeking. The Bible says, seek and you will what?
Find.
Ask and it will be given to you. Knock and the door will be open to you. If you are totally indifferent to the things of God, lots of times there will be no open heart. You'll sit there like stone, and that will be your life. You'll hear the word of God, and it'll bounce off you like a rubber ball. It's not what God wants in your heart. But if you have a little bit of hunger, even the smallest spark, a little bit of thirst for God, He will come. He will open your heart. He will speak into your life. He will draw you to Himself. He will wake you up. And this is what happens to this lady. She was a worshiper of God as much as she knew. She wanted to know God better. She was one who wanted to be near to God. But she heard the things of the gospel. And when she heard, she and her household were baptized. You see, it wasn't a long period of time. And I encourage this. When people get saved, when they put their faith in the Lord, the next step is to be baptized. That is to go into water and to declare, I have died to the old person I was and I've risen to be a new person. It doesn't say, I'm a perfect man now or a perfect woman now, but it says, I belong to Jesus Christ. He was died, He was buried, He was crucified, He was buried, and He rose again from the dead, and I'm standing with Jesus. I'm dying with Jesus and I'm rising with Jesus. I'm throwing my lot in with Jesus Christ. That was the declaration, and it was immediate. They believed and then they were baptized. And that's exactly what happened. She and her household, not only herself, but her household did as well. And she begged to say, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. So Paul's heavenly vision to go into Macedonia was not disappointed, was it? There he was. There he was, and he was at the right place, at the right time, with the right word. And this woman and her family came to faith in Jesus Christ. What rejoicing there must have been in that home. What great joy as that family gathered round and gave praise to God that they had discovered the way of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. And listen, what great joy is in heaven now, because we're talking about real people. Lydia and her family are in heaven now, praising God, worshiping God, and looking back to that time and saying, wasn't it wonderful as we were down by that riverside and Paul came down and Paul was there coming over to visit and saying, yeah, it was a great day, wasn't it? A great day as they rejoiced together over the wonder of what God had done to bring them into faith in Jesus Christ. And so to all the saints that are gathered around the throne, even now praising the Lord and exchanging stories and talking about the wonder of how God met them in the journey of life and how incredible it was that they passed from death to life on those days when they put their faith and their hope in Jesus Christ. To be able to look back and say, I met Jesus on the road of life will be the joy of heaven, friends, and the ongoing relationship with Him. But that wonderful salvation that we experience, this is what matters in the journey of life. It is coming to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And this is what matters for us who know the Lord, is to find the opportunities in the love of God to share with others and tell them about Jesus too. And to look for the seeking ones. Look for those who are looking for God, because there are people out there looking for God. People will come to our meetings looking for God, and God will meet them. At first they might say, oh, He'd never meet me. He doesn't want me. He might want that person, that, but not me. Ah, but the Lord sees the seeking heart, and He will come to that seeking heart, and He will open it up like a flower and pour the love of God into them. That's what He delights to do. Friends, Christianity is the most exciting thing to live in, to walk in, to have as the very center of your heart, to be walking in the Spirit of God, depending on Him, living in the presence of the Lord. It's a wonderful place, and it carries eternal weight. An eternal weight of glory comes with this wonderful gospel. And so, they saw conversion. And they continued to do the work there in Macedonia. Now it happened as we went to prayer. A certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. Now, I don't know about you, but you're in a strange city. You've got one family that's come to faith in the Lord. But you're out there with the gospel, and you're out there to proclaim the gospel. And along comes this girl. She's a slave girl. She has a spirit of divination upon her. She was well recognized. She was one whom people listened to, so much so that they paid a lot of money to hear what she had to say. And she's saying this: these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Is that true? Is every word of it true? Wow, this looks like a real plus, doesn't it? Here's a girl that everybody wants to hear from, a girl that you paid big money to hear from her, and now she wasn't even doing it for money. She just kept saying, these men are men of the Most High God who are showing us the way of salvation. You might think, wow, we've got her on our side. We're doing well. But what happens? She did this for many days. Now, I don't know about Paul at first. How she got away with this for many days. Maybe he was thinking, I don't know. Maybe they were thinking, well, she's telling the truth, wasn't she? So, maybe it's going to be a benefit to us. But here's the thing. You don't see anybody getting saved. Nobody's getting saved there. Nothing good is happening. To the point where finally Paul was greatly what? Annoyed. Enough. Enough. This woman was compelled to go around proclaiming this. But I'll tell you what, friends. We don't need the devil's help to do God's work. We don't need the devil's help. Not at all. So he turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Remember, this girl was possessed by a demon. She was not in control of her own senses. And this demon, whatever the purposes and mechanizations of the devil in this, were not for the glory of God. It was not so that people would truly be saved. It was a deceiving spirit. And it wasn't producing any fruit. And it was also, this girl was in bondage. She was a slave. She was owned by people. She was in physical bondage and she was in spiritual bondage as this demon had the control of her. Now, why the demon would make it sound so good? Maybe because the demon was afraid that they would be cast out. The demon wanted recognition. But Paul, being greatly annoyed, turned and called on this demon to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And that very hour, out she comes. What's the result of this? It looks like it's a catastrophe. At least you had somebody on their side. And now, instead of that, when her master saw their hope of profit was gone, because she couldn't tell the future anymore. Now there's something to notice here, friends. Demons can give some predictions about things that will happen. And people flock to them. Diviners come to these communities. I know they do. They come with their divination. They come with their readings. And they want you to go and get a reading. Let me tell you, behind this stuff, there are demons. Especially if some of the stuff they're saying is coming true. This is what happened here. They were making money because some of the things she was saying were happening. And that causes people to flock to it. Just because spiritual things happen, just because supernatural things happen, it does not mean it's from the Spirit of God. It can very well be demons at work. There are demons in this world, in case you do not know. And they actually possess people. And they can cause people to know things that they would not normally know. That doesn't mean it's God working. And we need to have discernment. That's one of the things the New Testament teaches. You need to have some discernment here. You need to be careful what you mess around with. You don't want to be consulting demons. You don't want to be consulting things that can cause you grief in the end. You don't want to be reading your so-called horoscope. You don't want that. That's not from God. All of that garbage is the devil seeking an inroad into the lives of people. You don't want to mess with Ouija boards and asking spirits to guide you. There's only one Holy Spirit, and he's the only one you need to guide you in your life. Don't go anywhere else, because everywhere else there is death. And so, in this situation, the hope of their prophet was gone. She was no longer effective, because there was no demon within her. And so what happens? They seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. They brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city." Now, of course, what was the real reason? We weren't making any more money. "And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Totally false. Now, I don't know. Maybe Paul looked at Silas and said, "Did we do the right thing? We're in trouble here." I'm sure they probably didn't do that, because he knew they had done the right thing in casting out those demons. "So the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them..." Now understand, many stripes. They were severely beaten. Wow. We were going to Macedonia. The Spirit of God led us to go to Macedonia, and here we are, getting beaten. What's going on here? "Many stripes. They threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." Now we know the rest of this story, and we're going to get to that story again, where we discover that this prisoner becomes a Christian. This jailkeeper becomes a believer in Jesus Christ. That God had a plan to bring them all the way down so that they could go all the way up. That the Lord was still directing them. And that's what I really want to leave with you tonight. The reality that the Lord is directing us. If things go bad, he's still directing us. He still knows what he's doing. If it seems as if everything's falling apart, I mean, here's Paul and Silas. How are they going to do the gospel now? They're arrested. They're being thrown into prison. They've been beaten, and they're thrown into a jail. They're locked into stocks. This looks like the end of the journey now, right? But it was really the beginning of something greater. It was more conversion, because as soon as they got the demon cast out of that girl, with all her proclamation of the gospel, it didn't do one bit of good. But all of a sudden now, as they get into this prison, this jailer ends up getting saved. This jailer comes to faith in Jesus Christ. And for some reason, I don't have the rest of the text here, and that's why I'm slowed down. So I'm going to jump there for a second. Give me a second. Okay, I'll get you to arrow down if I need to. So they put them in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now imagine that. Eh? They had just been whipped and beaten. Their backs would have been bloodied. They were locked into stocks in a dank and dirty prison in Philippi. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Ha! Imagine that, eh? Why? That's right. Because they were walking with God. Because the Lord gives grace to be full of himself in the midst of the hardest places. They went a long way down. But even though physically they were going a long way down, spiritually they were going a long way up. They were praising God. They were worshiping the Lord. Listen, troubles will come if you're going to go preach the gospel. If you're going to stand with Jesus Christ, somebody's not going to like it. And they're going to give you a hard time about it. Let them. Praise the Lord anyway. What did Jesus say to do if somebody gives you a hard time? Rejoice. Leap for joy. He tells us to be... And this is what they're doing. They're praising God, praying and singing hymns to God. But something else was happening. The prisoners were listening to them. And somehow along the way, the jailer must have heard them too. And in the midst of them praising and worshiping God and singing hymns to God in the hard place, friends, in the dark place, because they were walking in the Spirit, suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Now, I don't know about you, but if you went to a local penitentiary and there was a great earthquake, and suddenly all the doors flung open, every chain was broken, everybody's chains were loosed, how long would it take for the prison to empty? Really? How long before there wouldn't be anybody left in that jail? They'd be gone so fast, right? These are criminals. The doors are open. This is our chance. Let's get out of here, right? So there was a miracle here. The first miracle was the great earthquake, exactly timed. The second part of the miracle was that it shook the foundation of the prison and everybody's chains were loosened. All the doors flew open. That's pretty miraculous, wouldn't you say? But listen, the previous miracle was what? The previous miracle were men who served God in His such power that even though they were beaten and whipped, they were worshipers of God. That's a miracle. That really is a miracle, friends. To if you find yourself praising God in such a place as this.
That's why everyone was listening to
them. Pardon me?
That's why everybody was listening to
them. Yes, of course. Yeah. So, here's what happens. The keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, must have sounded like a lullaby to him because he was gone to sleep. And seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, which was reasonable, what did he do? He drew his sword, was about to kill himself. Now, why would he do that? Oh, he would have been tortured by the Roman government. To allow all the prisoners to escape from his prison would have been absolute torture. He figures, I'm getting the quick way out of here. I'm going to kill myself. He took his sword out. He was ready to kill himself. Pardon me?
Oh, never mind. Keep going.
Yeah. You can go down. Use the, just right here. Just move it down. You don't know how to do that. You got it. Okay. A little more. Nope. Oh, go back up. Okay. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. How many were there? No prisoner left. Not one prisoner left. That's a miracle, friends. We're all here. We are all here. So what happens? The jailkeeper calls for a light. He ran in and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He knew this was miraculous. He had known why they were there. He had heard them preaching. He had heard them praising and singing and glorifying God. And he knew that all of this was supernatural. He knew it was supernatural because of what happened with the doors flying open and everything else. He knew it was supernatural because people don't sing hymns when they're being whipped and beaten with rods. They just don't do that. He knew it was supernatural because every prisoner was still in his place, even though they could have run away. They knew it was supernatural too. What happens? He falls down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is one of the greatest questions in the Bible, is it not?
Yes.
Were they directed by the Spirit of God, Paul and Silas?
Yes.
They were directed. Does it mean it was always easy? No. At first they saw conversion, then they saw nothing. Day after day after day, they were actually being tormented by a demon. And that got dealt with. And in dealing with that, they landed in prison, beaten and whipped. But God was still on the throne. The Lord was still guiding their footsteps. Listen, you might feel like you're on the mountaintop. Then you might feel like you're in the darkest valley. But the Spirit of God is still working. Trust Him. Walk with Him. Let Him carry you through whatever the journey you are in life. And discover God's way. Discover God's heart in the middle of it all. What must I do to be saved? I love that question. I'm so glad when somebody asks me that question. What do I have to do? What must I do to be saved? And this is what he asked him. I am sure the apostle Paul and Silas were some excited when he said this. And here was what their answer was. Look at the answer. Oh, was it complicated? What did he say to them to do? Oh, you have to say 25 Hail Marys and an Our Father. You have to do this. You have to. He didn't say any of that. He said, look, what did he say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Is it that easy? Of course it's that easy. If it was any harder, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do any more. What could I do to be saved? How could I get rid of my sin? How could I make myself right with God? What can I do to be saved? I must put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that's so simple. Isn't that simple? And so glorious. And so you and your household too. You and your household. They can be saved too. All they need to do is believe. That's all it takes. Don't complicate it. Oh, I tell you. So much religion has saw the opportunity to control you by saying, in order to be saved, you have to do all our little religious things here. You have to put so much money in here. You have to do this ritual and this ritual and this ritual, and we'll control you. We'll make sure we got you, the control of you for the rest of your life. That's not God. That's not God's heart. God's heart is not to have men control you by religion. God's heart is for you to accept a free gift of salvation. It's free. It's free. Thank God that it's free. That doesn't mean it didn't cost. It cost Christ the cross in order to save you. But he did do it. So now you can be saved by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes I found where people found, that sounds too easy. I must have to do something. Well, you know, I said to them, well, what do you want to have to do? Well, you want to go climb Mount Everest? You think that'll help you? Go ahead. No, it's free. It's free, friends. And so what happens? They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. Suddenly, they're not in jail anymore. They're in the jailkeeper's house. And he took them, that is the jailkeeper, and the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes. They had wounds. Yes, they did physically suffer for Jesus Christ. But he washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were
baptized.
They believed and then they were baptized. Now when he brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced having believed in God with all of his household. Salvation came to his family because there were men who were willing to say, Lord, we'll do whatever you want. Even if we'll suffer for your name's sake, we will do what you want. They were walking with God. They were in the Spirit. They were willing to be worshiping and praising God in the hard places. And the Lord ministered powerfully and wonderfully. Please let the Holy Spirit have his way in your heart. It's just not worth it to live any other way. But to say, God, you have your way with me. I'm ready and willing to be used of you. And if you do, you will discover God's faithful. How that works out, no idea. Who could plan this one? Huh? I mean, who could plan this story? Only God. Right? I mean, look at the ups and the downs of this story and see that this is the hand of God at work. So when it was day, the magistrate sent to the officer saying, let those men go. But Paul said, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans. They were Roman citizens. And he said, you have thrown us into prison, and now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come and get themselves and get us out. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard they were Romans. They thought they didn't have any citizenship, but if you were a Roman citizen, you had rights. So then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and they departed. God used them. Friends, what can I say? Serve the Lord. Spend time every day praying, Lord, guide my footsteps today. I'm not saying you're going to end up in a Macedonian prison. You might. Probably not likely. I'm not saying you're going to get beaten with rods. You might, not likely, but who knows what journey God will take you on. It may seem like a disaster, but there are no disasters when we're in the will of God. Someone used to say to me, a friend of mine, Obi Dupre, used to always say this, the safest place you can ever be is in the will of God. Be in His will, be in His way, and watch God work. And you will not be disappointed. I am not disappointed to walk with God over these years. I am not disappointed to serve Him. I'm not disappointed to go through the journeys that I've gone through. Even some of them have not been easy. And there will be difficult ones to come as well. But I am not disappointed. To the measure that I have walked with God, I can say He is faithful, He is good, and it's worth it to serve the Lord. And to see fruit, and to see people saved, and know they're going to be in heaven for eternity. How could I be disappointed with that? Can't be. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You for the truth that rings out of the Bible. And thank You for this glorious truth tonight. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. Thank You, we can declare that to a broken, ruined, lost world. And that sinners can be converted and saved. And declare their faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for many more to be saved. We pray, Lord, that You will break open this community and these villages, and that sinners will cry out and they will be saved, Father. That You will give us opportunity to find them, Lord, and to share the good news, and that people will turn wholeheartedly to the Lord and serve You. And we pray, Father, that we will win the lost, whatever the cost. In Jesus' name, amen.